Come, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us through these words, I ask now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A rather pompous-looking deacon was seeking to impress upon a Sunday school class of boys the importance of living the Christian life. "Why do people call me a Christian?" he asked the boys. And after a moment's silence, one of the boys responded, "Maybe it's because they don't know you." If people get to know you, would they know that you're a Christian? If people get to know you, would they obviously see that you're a Christian? Throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul has been giving instructions to the church at Ephesus about living the Christian life. And he's been doing that perhaps because of situations that were happening in the Ephesian church. Perhaps he was doing that because of specific people that were doing things in the Ephesian church. Whatever the case may be, he was seeking to instruct them on how to live the Christian life. Today's lesson from Ephesians, Paul is really getting very particular, very, very specific. He's really getting very practical. So I'd like us to focus on our lesson from Ephesians today. So if you wouldn't mind getting out your Bibles again and turning to Ephesians chapter 4. It's on page 1819 of the Pew Bibles. We're going to start again at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25. And he says this in verse 25. "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." A couple of weeks ago, I focused on a particular passage in the letter to the Ephesians that was read earlier, and that passage had Paul saying these words. He said that they're to speak the truth, but then he also added this phrase afterwards, to speak the truth in love. And so he's been speaking about the importance of speaking the truth to people, but also doing so in love. And he's telling the Ephesian Christians, again, that they're hopefully remembering what he wrote earlier. And he's reminding them, again, to speak the truth. That's important for us to speak the truth, but we need to be careful how we do that. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we seeking to speak the truth in order to build someone up or to encourage them or to help them? Are we seeking to speak the truth in order to tear them down or to make them feel guilty or to punish them in some way? He says that sometimes you might be angry with a brother or sister in Christ. Remembering that we are all part of one body, the body of Christ, we're not to let our anger cause us to say something or do something that might be harmful to our brother or sister in Christ. For example, if someone offends you in what they say, the temptation for us is just to say, "Oh, you're a jerk." But what would happen if we responded in a different way by saying, "You know, you may not realize this, but what you said offended me." That's a much different way of using the truth and responding to a person than the first way I mentioned. Paul also adds in the rest of verse 26, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." He's saying it's important for us to try to resolve our differences as quickly as possible, not to allow them to fester and to cause bitterness to build up and cause us to be divided from one another. The more we put off trying to be reconciled to our brother and sister that we have offended or that has offended us, the better chance that there are to cause real problems to develop in that relationship. This means that we're to try to reconcile with the other person before too much time has taken place, hopefully even before the end of the day. And certainly that applies especially to husbands and wives. It's important for us to try to make sure that we don't allow any unresolved anger or any unresolved differences with us to not be dealt with before we go to bed at night. And certainly if you follow this principle, then you will not allow the devil to gain a foothold in your life by causing division and by causing bitterness and anger to further separate you as a couple. You begin to think about getting even with your spouse or punishing them in some way by giving them the silent treatment or by doing something selfish. Paul then says in verse 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands. Now, this isn't the only time that Paul talks about the importance of trying to earn our own living and not trying to live off of other people or not trying to just be a sponge off of other people and that sort of thing. He talks about that also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 when he says, for you yourselves know you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right for such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were here with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. And so it's important for us as Christians to remember that we are called to earn our own way. We're not called to try to live off of other people. We're not called to try to just live off of society. We're called to really seek to earn our own living while we're in this world. At the same time, throughout Scripture, Christians are called to take care of those who can't work or who are not able to earn their own living. We're called to be generous to seek to help those people. We also see in our lesson today from Ephesians when he says in the rest of verse 30 that they may have something to share with those in need. And so one of the blessings of working is that not only are we able to take care of our own household and our own needs, but we're also able then to help those in need who are not able to help themselves. This is really reflects the generous heart of a giving Christian. Paul's instructions continue in verse 29 when he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now, the unwholesome talk about which Paul is speaking here is not just cussing, cursing, or telling off-color jokes and that sort of thing. But he's really talking about speaking in an unwholesome way about someone else or to someone else. Again, Christians are to watch their tongues. Is what I am saying to another person designed to build them up and to encourage them, to help them? Or is it designed to tear them down? Is it designed to really hurt them in some way? When we speak in an unwholesome way, it says, grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person because you can only grieve a person. And so we're grieving the Holy Spirit when we speak in an unwholesome way towards someone or about someone or with someone. And so as we grieve the Holy Spirit, we are doing so in a way that is not pleasing to God. He sums it up in verse 31 when he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In his early years, the famous evangelist Brownlow North had lived a life that was anything but Christian. Once, just before he was to enter the pulpit in a church in Aberdeen, he received a letter from a fellow Christian that recalled a shameful series of events he had been engaged in. And North's stomach turned, and it concluded by saying, if you had the gall to preach tonight, I'll stand up and expose you. North took the letter and went to his knees in prayer. A few minutes later, he was in the pulpit. He began his message by reading the letter from start to finish. And he said, I want to make it clear to you that this letter is perfectly true. I am ashamed of what I have read and what I have done. And I come tonight not as one who is perfect, but as one who is forgiven. Because of this letter and because of his ministry, Brownlow North had a great impact on many people, bringing many people to Christ as they heard the message of forgiveness, of mercy, and of love of Jesus Christ. North exhibited true Christian character in spite of the fact that a fellow Christian was trying to tear him down and hurt him rather than to build him up and extend the grace of Christ to him. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If someone gets to know you, would they be able to say you're a Christian? Would they know it by how you speak the truth in love? Would they know it by the way that you do not harbor bitterness and resentment and anger, but offer forgiveness? Would they know it by how hard you work and how generous you are with your giving? Would they know it by the kind of talk that comes out of your mouth? Is it helpful, seeking to build up others rather than to tear them down? Would they know it by how kind and compassionate you are? Would they know that you are a Christian by how you walk in love as Christ loved us and how he sacrificed his life for us as a fragrant offering to God? Let us pray. Father, we have to admit that many times we are not living the sort of Christian life that would cause others to recognize that we are followers of Jesus. Lord, would you help us to begin to reflect more and more of a Christ-like life? Would you help us to walk in love as you loved us and gave yourself for us? Would you help us to speak the truth in love? Would you help us to be quick to forgive and to get rid of all bitterness and anger toward one another? Lord, would you help us to live the sort of life that reflects the life that you would have us to live so that others might recognize your light shining through us? Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might not only have the ability to live the way that you would have us to live, but also that we would begin to develop more and more the fruit of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.